From the time we come into this world, our minds are seeking truthful information. This is necessary for our survival and for our contentment. We soon learn that sharp things stick and hurt, that hot things burn, and that some things taste good. Even at a very early age, our minds have stored a tremendous amount of truthful information from which we establish our own sense of values and our own kind of logical reasoning. From this personal evaluation of things comes our individuality, our attitude, and our personality. We are individuals because of the way we think, but we all have one thing in common. We seek the truth for survival and for contentment. Within each of us, there is a voice of our own mind. It is our voice of conscience, voice of reason, voice of logic, and our voice of common sense. We receive some very good advice from our own voice of common sense when or if we take the time to be quiet and listen to it. Unfortunately, we're not able to think our own thoughts when distracted by outside interests like radio and television. It is very easy for us to let our minds become a slave of outside guiding forces through newscasts, entertainment spectaculars, and sports events. We may be in the presence of other persons while receiving outside information, but become too absorbed in the presentation to evaluate our own real opinions or discuss them with those nearby. The methods of high-pressure salesmanship and the methods used for indoctrination are really very closely related. Those who would sell us something explain only the features of their wares that they feel sure will appeal to our sense of desire in one way or another. This brings us back to the subject of national news presentation. The following is a typical sequence of the time spent on news and commercials during an hourly news broadcast. Federal level news, 50 seconds, followed by a commercial that takes 60 seconds. Federal level news for 95 seconds. Then two events outside our country and a stock market report, all within 35 seconds. Then two commercials together, taking 60 seconds. More federal level news, 23 seconds. One outside event, 7 seconds. This totals 5.5 minutes news time. By categorical separation, it turns out that half of the total news time period was devoted to happenings at the federal level, what the federal government is up to. Most of the rest is taken up with commercials, and often they play a clear-cut supporting role in the overall psychological impact. Very often there is something in the federal news that sticks or jabs us like a sharp point. Tax increase, war threat, cost of living up, gasoline shortage, or some other crisis situation that affects us, the people, directly, but that is being investigated and taken care of by our federal government. If we find the news disturbing, there is usually something advertised that is supposed to relieve a headache, an upset stomach, or a stopped-up nose. But if we're okay, yet feel we should do something to make things better, there is an answer for that, too. You can join an action group, which is listed in the phone book under federal government. You can give money to something of your choice, or to stamp out something. Or you can write to Box Number X, Washington, D.C., for more information. The news may leave you with the impression that we have a lot of big problems, but that they are all being taken care of by the federal government. They even investigate and clean up their own scandalous misbehavior. We learn that some of these scandals have been publicized and pushed back and forth just to make federal thoroughness look so forthright and honest. It also covers up a lot of behind-the-scenes manipulation. Next time you hear national news on the radio, just try to see what good you're getting out of it in the way of actual news. This is a big nation, and many interesting things are going on every day. But if you hear from a particular location, the chances are that either a great catastrophe happened there, or some federal official was there and had something to say about federal affairs. similar observations apply to television, but it is just that much more complicated. So it pretty well boils down to this. We hear mostly federal government news, so-called national news, on the networks. Then we have local news selected and compiled by local newscasters. Usually, the local newscasts contain more real national news taken from their wire services than we get on the big network coverage. Each of us is being isolated from our nation as a whole nation. There is only us and the federal authority. We are not being allowed to think of our nation as a great, big, busy, buzzing nation with a workforce of 90 million people all working together to create many valuable and interesting things. Would you call this honest, fair, well-rounded, unbiased news coverage? And is it therefore just an accident that lately we are seized repeatedly by unexpected major crises? Be honest now, when was the last time that the actions and policies of our big, powerful government really made sense to you? And when was the last time that things worked out the way they told you they would? Is this news, or is it indoctrination? The manipulators don't want us to think about what a big, wonderful nation we have here. They know that if we have time to use our common sense and look at it and evaluate what a prize we own, they'll never be able to take it away from us and make us slaves under their totalitarian, dictating control. You may want to be quiet and think this over for a while. When we watch a televised sports event, an entertainment spectacular, or a game show and such like, our mind is almost completely occupied by what somebody else is doing, while we are accomplishing little or nothing, and are not doing much of our own thinking. A certain amount of this is good recreation, but in excess it steals away too much of our precious time and also confines our mental activity to a very narrow area of thinking. The manipulators don't want us to think for ourselves because they know if we do, we will refuse to be managed and indoctrinated to fit into their plans for total control over us. Why do we have such accurate and highly detailed coverage of sports events when most all else is so jumbled, twisted, or controversial that it's hard to tell one end of it from the other? What's happened to our local entertainment talent? Why do we have to focus our attention on something so produced and controlled as that which comes to us through the networks? Because the manipulators have it rigged that way. That's why. We have heard much controversy about managed news and slanted news. Well, sure it is. It has to be. Everything that is selected and edited is managed. Newspaper editorials, books, newscasts, even live on-the-scene TV news events. You think live TV couldn't be managed? Then who selects the camera angles and switches the scenes? Who selects the sound pickup and chooses whose voice is heard? You will notice that someone always explains what you see and hear, just to make sure you saw what you saw and you heard what you heard. Whether it is managed or slanted, then, is not really the question. The real question is, in whose favor is it managed or slanted? Is it giving something to you, or is it taking something away from you? Are you being given thorough, impartial information which you can use to make your own plans and decisions, or are you being pounded continually with ever-worsening problems and federal plans and decisions? Are you simply given the facts and invited to judge them for yourself, or are you being given a slick presentation of partial truth and being assured by a voice resonant with authority that says, "And that's the way it is"? You know the answers to these questions if you just let yourself think. Your own voice of common sense gives you the answers if you listen to it instead of being pounded and pressured into believing what is put upon you from outside sources. Try exchanging some of your well-thought-out ideas about these things with other people nearby. You may be surprised at the results. Of course, there may be some who will look at you like some sort of freak at first for thinking your own thoughts, but there will be others who will regard you with high respect and seek to cultivate a frequent exchange of ideas. The voice of a fool is easily quieted, but one who speaks with the conviction of truth and makes sense is neither ignored or disregarded. It might come in handy to bear in mind that the moment we want something, we open up our mind to indoctrination, whether the idea is our own or whether some outside influence has caused us to want it. We can be misled without being lied to. This is done by presenting bits and pieces of truth that appeal to us. As a familiar example, suppose we are looking at a big, new, heavy automobile. We are told that the extra weight is a safety advantage. Of course, the disadvantage to the other person with less weight is not mentioned. All the comfort and luxury accessories are pointed out. It will not be explained that the radio or music system may drown out a warning signal and cause you to have a wreck. And it will not be mentioned that the luxury accessories are troublesome and expensive to maintain. And it certainly will not be suggested that with all the luxury loading, it will do well to get 8 miles per gallon. But all these wonderful things can be yours for just a few dollars a month above the cost of something not as good. You can't really afford to settle for less than the best, he says. The experienced individual has learned to be wary of this sort of sucker bait. He has learned to listen to his own common sense, to walk away and think it over for a while, then try to make a logical decision. We trustingly expect the news to be neutral and objective, so we just drink it all in without much evaluation. This leaves our guard down to accept all sorts of negative, undesirable indoctrination that is not immediately apparent to us because we have had no experience in this kind of information being put into our minds. Indoctrination broadcasts for selling new federal policies to the American people by way of the electronic communications media got underway in the 1930s when Franklin D. Roosevelt sold his New Deal administration with fireside talks over the radio networks. Many of the emergency measures enacted during that period seemed like good measures at the time, but they were the beginning of federal control policies which have now increased to an almost unbearable level of strangulation. Since that period, we have had the New Frontiers Administration of John Kennedy, the Great Society Administration of Lyndon Johnson, and the New Federalism Administration of Richard Nixon. You are free to name the present one whatever you prefer to call it. It may very well be our last administration as a free nation if we fail to use the people power of public opinion to win back majority representation. We sometimes hear someone say, there ought to be a law. Or sometimes we hear, why doesn't the government do something? From these little expressions of need, no matter how small or what their origin, the manipulator can publicize these into magnified proportion until federal action offering a satisfaction of the need is welcomed by the public. This is the way they can take a seed of truth or a minor need and shape federal control legislation around it that gives them more control over us. In the long run, we always end up losing more than we gain. The Social Security Act of 1935 grew out of a legitimate but temporary need brought about by a depression, but it grew into federal controls that have not been for the best interests of our American population as a whole. We have always had state and local welfare benefits for those who need help, and these cost much less to maintain than the federal system. Federal Social Security does not pay out to the recipient nearly as much as can be earned from the same amount invested in any reliable means of investment offered by private free enterprise, even a bank savings account, for example. The smallness of most Social Security checks works a hardship on those depending on them. a retiree risks losing his benefit if he goes out to earn extra needed money. If, over his working years, he had been able to put his money in the bank instead of having it drained off by Social Security taxes, it would be his own nest egg and he could earn any extra money he wanted to. Under the present system, however, the person on Social Security has been cleverly turned into a prisoner of the federal government. According to financial experts, the whole system is in a state of financial collapse and is now in debt for over $2 trillion. This is equivalent to $1 million an hour for every hour in a span of 228 years. Hidden taxes are being funneled into the program to keep it going. It is difficult to see how the word security fits in the title of this ill-managed piece of federalism. It is impossible to understand how our elected United States congressmen are doing nothing at all to correct the faults of the system or admit that the federal government can't manage it and turn welfare back to the state and local control. Since 1935, all sorts of benefits have been sold to us, each one based on some kind of need that we are told the federal government can handle best. Every single one of them has brought on more federal control, raised taxes, increased the cost of living, and resulted in less benefit for the majority. Please notice, less benefit for the majority. In addition to federal taxes, we of course pay various kinds of state and local taxes. These are supposed to get things done close to home that the federal government is not supposed to be concerned with. But you probably have noticed that the federal government these days is getting its fingers more and more, even into things that are supposed to be of local concern only. How is this being managed? Why, through another federal benefit program, something called revenue sharing. The federal level is supposed to be the top level of government in our country. Below that are the states, then counties, then municipalities, and within the municipalities, all kinds of different departments. So why in the name of common sense is somebody in the top Washington office telling the Chicago police chief how to run his department? Says he has to follow federal guidelines in hiring practices to qualify for his revenue sharing needed to run his department. We should find out how come the top office got hold of the chief's operating cash in the first place. Somehow his money must have been stolen, carried outside his city limits, across county and state lines, and ended up in the top federal office. Now if he doesn't ignore municipal and county and state regulations and do like the top office says, he can't have his money back. Whenever there is dissension and general unrest in a company, it is because something is out of order in the management, and management begins at the top. However, the top must always work down through the lower departments in step-by-step order. The management must never skip over the authority of any department and give directions directly to one of lower order. This departmental skipover is being done by our federal authority and is responsible for a great deal of unrest right now. Executives in the top office don't know beans about running a particular police department and are not supposed to. That's the police chief's job. He is chosen by the local citizenry to perform his duties, and if they are not satisfied, they can throw him out and put in a new chief. The skip-down practice of federal meddling is going on all over our country, and it makes us try to please several different bosses at the same time. It can't be done, as we all can very plainly see. There is no good reason why the federal government needs to collect taxes from us to set up local federal offices to tell us how to run our business when we are already set up and have been doing it for years. But this is the way the meddling manipulators work. They have our federal system making more racket than a worn-out washing machine. It would be mighty nice to just unplug the noisy thing for a while until we can get the dirt and scum all cleaned out, stop up the leaks, repair and restore it to its original good working order. That word scum fits in very well here if we think about skimming scum off the top. there are so many top-level bureau and departmental officials who are appointed to their influential positions without being subject to confirmation by our representatives. Many of these have not worked their way up through the ranks to acquire experience necessary for the position. Some of the most powerful manipulations are brought into the federal system through these appointed infiltrators. So while we're cleaning up the machine, we'd better skim off the top level. Taking away excessive money is the best skimming tool we can possibly use. Like repealing the 16th Amendment, for instance. That would put the IRS out of business. How would you like that? No, the repeal of the 16th Amendment is neither out of reason or unprecedented. The members of Congress are elected to their office by we the people, and they are legal servants of majority public opinion. They have the legal authority and also the legal obligation to obey our majority opinion. If we demand the repeal of the 16th Amendment in majority, they must satisfy our demand by preparing a repeal document to be approved by a 3/4 majority of the states. The 18th Amendment of 1919 became so unpopular that it was repealed in 1933. Why do we make a louder noise over a winning touchdown than we do over having a sickening share of our paycheck withheld as an involuntary contribution to the IRS? Why, oh, why? Sure, the federal government needs some operating capital, but not enough to throw away all over the world, not enough to give us benefits we can't afford, not enough to share with us what they shouldn't have taken in the first place. Let's take care of local expenses first. The governing system is our servant, and here we are, right here. Our local governing system that regulates our responsibilities is right here where we are. Does it make any sense to send the expense money a long way off and then try to get some of it back to meet our expenses? They call it revenue sharing. We can well afford something above local expenses to maintain state governing costs, and the states can manage to share something with the federal system. Under their new constitution, which the manipulators are now very slyly beginning to refer to, it is rigged so that all taxes are to be collected by the Federal Internal Revenue Service. We have been reminded from time to time through commentary on the communications media that we seem to be a nation of apathetic people. This is exactly what the manipulators want us to believe. You know that you yourself are not at all apathetic. With all the oppressive conditions existing around you, how could you be? But if you believe that the people of our nation are apathetic as a whole, then you think, I wish I could do something, but what's the use? Nobody else cares. They wouldn't help, so there's nothing I can do. This is just another method of indoctrination they use to keep your mind in the hypnotic spell of their great image of power. We the people are really like a bed of smoldering embers, very hot and alive under a cover of ashes. All we need to generate a powerful flaming heat is a breath of fresh air to blow aside the ashes and nourish the embers into a glowing heat of awareness as to what is happening. Then the roaring flame of counteraction will burst forth. Let's rekindle the flame of our national spirit, the pioneering spirit of a free nation, our beloved United States of America. Our constitutional representative governing structure guarantees freedom from taxation without representation, the cause our founding fathers fought for. But the manipulators are tearing up this guarantee piece at a time. You are witnessing this destruction, and you know it. We are again right back in the circumstances our founding fathers fought to gain our freedom from: taxation without representation. Beware of any government official who refers to our nation as a democracy. Whether he does this deliberately or through ignorance, his representation of our best interests is very, very questionable. We must carefully avoid radicalism, sensationalism, and hate. These are destructive emotions that dilute and weaken sound judgment, that cause mob violence and hysteria. This message is one of love for you and your individual role as an important member of We the People. We respect the creative efforts of those who have built our greatness as a free nation. We respect each other as individual contributors to our present and our future. We hold in our minds and our willing hands the power and the direction of our nation and its future. It is our minds and our willing hands that write and enforce the laws, that operate the levers, valves, switches, and wheels of industry, that till the soil and harvest the crops, that make our tools and drive our trucks, and write the checks that pay our taxes. It's our nation. We built it. We run it. Then does it make any sense at all to let a few manipulators use their clever schemes of indoctrination to make us use our own minds and our own hands to bind ourselves into their dictatorial servitude? Ours is the real power because it is people power and public opinion power. But like any other power, it has to be turned on to use it. Please turn on your common sense now while you are still free to use it. They may announce a crisis shortage of that, too, any day now and try to make you believe you've just used up all of yours. It's time now, in fact, we're running late, to spread the word to those nearby, to encourage them to go forth and keep it spreading. But don't try to beat your listener over the head with a lot of radical, uncoordinated, babbling, patriotic nonsense. He'll just shake his head and walk away. First, put your own thoughts in order so they fit you and your own personality. Establish what you know to be fact and what your real honest opinions are. Then you will possess the power of your own convictions and your own common sense. Then you will command authority above the level of rumor or hearsay. Know what you are talking about. But be careful to not talk down to those around you like you're real smart and they're stupid. Be calm and patient until the opportunity allows you to speak. Then ask his opinion about such and such. This is the way to get it started. If you just run up all excited and blurt out something, you've blown your chance. Just use your own good judgment. That's what it's for. This message has now become your own personal property. It is in your mind to do with as you please. No one else has the right to tell you what to think, but they still have the right to suggest. A suggestion is, first, be calm and thoughtful. Ask yourself, does any of this make sense? Am I satisfied that all is as it should be? Am I getting out of life all that I should? Are taxes and prices like they should be? Does my federal government make me feel secure and contented? You may have 100 more questions, all important questions, because you are an important individual and your voice is representative in forming the circumstances you have to live in. When you have established yourself firmly on the solid foundation of your own convictions, then please act, beginning right where you are. Our power is the sum of us all, and we're all over the nation, not just in Washington, D.C., or in one small, isolated community. We possess altogether power, the greatest earthly power known to man, if we will but use it. We have the choice. Either we use it, or we lose it right now. Now it is in your hands as well as mine. Thank you for your attention. May God bless you. Tom Wilson.